today?
Good, good. How's it going on in St. Petersburg?
It's okay. The weather is quite surprisingly fine for the end of November, so it's not very cold. So how about you? What's the weather like in Nabережные Челны?
Not bad. It's not that cold, but very icy, slippery outside.
Really? Do you have snow?
Yeah, we do have snow.
Wow. I already started missing snow.
Is it not snowing yet?
No, not at all.
No? Oh. You see, when I was in St. Petersburg, so I spent there three winters, and I'm a person who doesn't like cold.
Uh-huh.
I hate it when it's cold.
Well, who does?
I went there because my brother, who lives there, he said that winters there are very mild, so not a lot of snow, not very cold.
Uh-huh.
So I went there, and during these 3 years, they had the coldest winters in St. Petersburg.
So you must have brought cold with you.
Probably, yeah. From the middle of Russia. So, yeah, and it was horrible. I don't know how I survived these winters. Of course, they were unquestionably beautiful because all the trees were covered in snow, and it was very beautiful, and snow was everywhere. And even the people who lived there during their whole life, they said that they have never seen such a beautiful winter. And for me, it was horrible.
Great. Yeah. Well, I guess the same situation happened with me when I lived in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Winters there are actually very similar to our autumn. I mean, it's very warm, and during the day it can be shining. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't feel like it's winter. Mm-hmm. But when we lived there, when we spent the winter there, it was actually very cold, and it was snowing like for the first time in 15 years. So all people were very surprised. They're like, it hasn't been snowing here for like 15 or 20 years. And we were like, yes.
Finally.
Yeah. So do you like when it's cold? Because I know some people, my mother, for example, she likes when it's cold. And Renard, my brother, also likes it. But I prefer when it's very, very hot.
I don't mind when it's cold. I'm actually not very much dependent on the weather.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I don't like when it's freezing. I mean, who does?
Yeah, yeah.
And as for this rainy kind of weather, I'm actually okay with that. I guess I'm a bit moody, and it simply suits my mood. I mean, I can be just walking along the street, and it can be raining, and I can be totally fine with that.
It's good. Then this city is just for you, because I was depressed all the time.
So I don't know. I mean, I haven't been here for a long time. It's too early to decide. But I guess I'm totally fine with that. The only problem is my dog, because it's a Cocker Spaniel, and so it's very furry. Every walk is a bit is a kind of a problem for us, because when we are back, we have to get washed. I mean, I have to wash my dog. So yeah.
Okay. Spend a little time.
So anyway, we are very happy to hear you guys.
Yes.
This is Asia and
Landish.
Okay, you're supposed to say, and this is Landish.
okay, and this is Landish. Yes, you're listening to the second episode of our weekly podcast. If you want to listen to the first one, and please welcome, go to our website, lingvistov.ru, or our pages in VKontakte or Facebook. So it's the same, vk.com/lingvistov. And besides, we have the... you can download our podcast from SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/lingvistov.
Yeah, and Pod.fm, but I don't remember the link.
Yes, it's a bit difficult, but I think that there are links in on our website, on our Facebook page and VKontakte page.
Yeah.
So
by the way, today we've had our third session of our free English club.
Yeah, it's very good. So people,
and I guess it was the best one so far, because there were
it was great. Yeah,
and there were six participants, and actually only two of us girls. So
that was great.
So four guys, and we were talking about books and how reading habits have changed since the introduction of the internet in our lives. So I guess it was quite interesting, and hopefully next Saturday we are going to have another similar discussion. So everybody is welcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so today we've got a lot of interesting stuff to discuss, and we have to move on to the news. The great news of this week is Black Friday in the United States and Thanksgiving. It is incredible how all people on the earth from different countries know the holidays of the United States.
Well, it's not surprising, I guess.
Yeah, and Americans don't know anything about our own holidays. And I think that everyone on our planet knows that it's Black Friday today. It actually was even Black Thursday, yeah?
Surprisingly, I don't know what Black Friday is.
It's sales. It's the beginning of sales for Christmas. Last year there were some casualties. Some people died, if I'm not mistaken, in the crowd. It was some kind of a mistake in Walmart, I think, or some kind of a big retailer, and they placed some very rare and expensive items right at the gates, at the opening doors. And when the crowd, because it was closed, they were waiting for, I don't know, for the whole night or the whole day there. Mm-hmm. So they rushed in, and of course there were some people who
got smashed.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was horrible. But this year, I think that they took some measures to prevent that kind of thing from happening.
Okay. Yeah. So we are not in the United States, so... Probably that doesn't concern us.
No, it's just an interesting fact that we know all about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not surprising, I guess. Americans mm-hmm. do not need to know about other nations because they are too confident. They think that, I mean, why do we? I mean, sorry, Americans, if you're listening to us. We love you.
There is a company which is called RapiScan. They are makers of controversial passenger screening machines. For the United States airport. And this company is under suspicion of manipulating tests designed to prevent the machines from producing graphic body images. The machines use backscatter radiation to deter objects concealed beneath clothes. And after a lot of complaints that the machines produce graphic images of passengers' bodies, the government ordered to replace the invasive images with more generic ones that simply show a chalk-like outline of a body.
Great.
Can you imagine? And I even saw the pictures. So there was a picture that showed the difference between the scans that they used to make and this chalk-like.
So do these machines actually show everything?
Yeah, they show everything. But it's all black and white, of course. But they do.
I mean, how detailed is the image?
I mean, you can't see, for example, nipples, but you can see the outline of the breast. So it's quite detailed. So I think that, when we went to the United States, if something like that happened, I would be probably right now. I'm thinking whether they had anything like that when we went to the United States. Yeah, that would be horrible.
Well. Would you be okay with that if you were in the airport and they scanned you with this kind of body scan?
No, I
showed your body and.
No, I don't know. It's very intimate. It's some kind of stuff which you don't want all people.
But it's not all people. It's just one security guy who just looks at your body and is probably.
No, I understand it. I understand that it is for the sake of security. But I think that if you can find another machines that can have less invasive scans, then of course I think that it's my right, it's the right of all people to ask them to change it, of course.
And what would you prefer? To prefer being scanned by this kind of machine, or to prefer being touched in case they suspect you? Like
I hate touching. I think that in Russia it's horrible. Yeah, that kind of thing. When you get in the bus, it's horrible. I think that in St. Petersburg it's not like that. But when I came back home here in Naberezhnye Chelny, it's horrible. Everyone is touching you. Sometimes when you stand on the line and some men can, you know, can touch your waist and ask you to move back. And for me, it's horrible when some men, I don't know, touches my waist.
Well, I guess in general, in Russia, it's not that bad as in China. I was on vacation in spring in China, and we went to the Beijing roller coasters. And because it was a Labor Day in Beijing, there were millions of people. Well, at least that's how it seemed. And we waited in the line where, again, the same problem. They seemed to not respect your privacy at all. They were just, you know, leaning on you and touching you. And if you ask them, hey, can you please just keep a bit and keep a distance, they would do that for maybe like 10 seconds, and then they would repeat and then start leaning on you again. So I guess it's not even about the nation. I mean, well, it is about the nation, but it's also about the how the these particular people were brought up and whether have this feeling, understanding of the privacy.
This week I went to the post to pay my bills, and there was this man. There was a huge line, as it is always like that in Russia.
In Russian posts, yes.
Yeah. And right in front of me was a man, middle-aged man, and he was very creepy. So someone said the joke, and everyone laughed, so I laughed as well. And he turned me, touched my hand, and said, "You have a very beautiful laughter."
I mean, that was a compliment. That was a compliment. You should have touched him by the shoulder and said, "Thank you, thank you."
No, I was creeped out. I ran out from the post office and I went to another one. Because I didn't want to stand in the line with this man.
Wow, next time you see him, just go ahead and touch him and say, thank you, I remember.
All right, moving on. Adopt a spire. The famous Duomo Cathedral in Milan is selling its spires in order to fund necessary repairs. For example, if you make a contribution of minimum 100 euro, you can have your name and your family name written at the base of a spire for all the eternity.
That's funny.
Yeah. Would you like to? So, for example, if you had that kind of money,
I'm just not that kind of a person to want my name written on some kind of a spire in Milan. I mean, that's not very important for me. But I guess for the people who really want to be remembered, that can probably be a very good opportunity.
Yes, it's probably the only opportunity.
Yes. But I guess if you have 100,000 euro, then why don't you just build a monument for yourself in the middle of your city, or, I mean, something like that. I mean, it's such a huge amount of money.
And you probably can get a lot than just a name and your family name.
Exactly.
You can... No one will ever see it because it's at the top of the cathedral.
I mean, that's a good idea, but I wonder if anyone has already contributed.
Have you seen on the news about this, the Russian contestant on the beauty pageant?
I have not, and I want you to be more detailed about this news.
And so our contestant from Russia provoked outrage by calling her motherland a beggar and my poor, long-suffering country mercilessly torn to pieces by greedy, dishonest, unbelieving people. "My Russia is a beggar," she said. "My Russia cannot help her elderly and orphans. From it, bleeding like from a sinking ship, engineers, doctors, teachers are fleeing because they have nothing to live on. My Russia is an endless Caucasian war."
Wow.
Yeah.
She must have suffered a lot to say that in public. Mm-hmm. So that's actually a bit depressing. But anyway, why did she say that?
I think because it's a pageant, she wanted to stand out. I think it was some kind of a PR trick or something like that. I actually appreciate it, her honesty, because it's really true. But on the other hand, I don't know. I can't really believe it because, well, she is in a
What
in a
can't
picture.
You believe? Believe her sincere, her being sincere, or
I can't believe her sincerity? Mainly because she is a contestant in this pageant. It's I don't like that kind of things, and I don't. I think that they are probably like a symbol of capitalism of everything that is wrong with our world right now, and to. But on the other hand, yes, to come out and say things like that, it's it's good.
I guess I don't really care about her motives. I mean, why she said that, whether because she was a contestant. How do you say that word?
Contestant.
I can't pronounce that. Okay, anyway, whether she was a participant in that contest or whether she really was sincere about that, I don't really care what was her reason, but I guess for me what matters was that she said that in public, probably provoking some thinking, and so that people could really realize that actually the situation in our country is not that great as as they say on the first channel. So I guess, I mean, at the same time, it's not that bad. I don't really like when, for example, foreigners talk about Russia being a very poor country, being a very dangerous country. I don't really like that. But being Russian, I see the whole picture, and I see that we do have a lot of problems, and we do not deserve having these problems. So
and the first step is to acknowledge the problems, that the problem exists.
But I mean, what I'm trying to say, it's pretty much like with a child. I mean, if you are a parent and somebody tells about your child being a bad boy, for example, you don't like that. You start protecting your child. Yeah, you start saying, hey, watch yourself, watch at your own child. Yeah, but being a parent and knowing your child from the inside out, you can. You can say that, well, yeah, he's a bit selfish, yeah, he's a bit spoiled, something like that, yeah. So I mean, for me, being Russian, of course I can say things like that, but I don't really like when foreigners say that.
But I think that everyone knows about it, and there is that kind of a tradition in Russia that we understand it, we laugh at our own that kind of a situation.
Weaknesses, yeah.
Yes, and we think that it's great. You know, we have those comedians, a lot of comedians who say that, well, Americans are all silly, and we Russians, even though we all are poor, and we don't have...
we are damn smart.
we're very smart. And I think that from time to time, I guess that people even like it. Russians.
I guess they are proud of
their own misery.
Yeah, they
and
are
they
proud.
Love it.
Yes. I absolutely agree. It's like, yes, we are poor, but we like it.
I think it's some kind of mentality, something from very far past that it's always been with us, I guess.
I guess what I don't really like is, I absolutely agree with this participant, is that a lot of brains are fleeing from Russia to other places, and that's what I actually don't like, because I being
Would you like to stay? Would you leave your brain here in Russia and dedicate?
Well, I did. I mean, I had the opportunity to stay in the United States, but I came back simply because it's not like I'm a huge patriot, you know. I just at some point I realized that I'm Russian. And I would never fit in, no matter how many years I would live in the United States. I would prefer being among my community. I mean, if you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, it's not even about the language. It's not even about this cultural thing. It's about
you. So you have no intention to go someplace else and live there?
Not permanently. I love
so
traveling. I love long-term traveling. I mean, I love. Like living in a particular city or country for like 2, 3, 5, 6 months, even I mean 1 year is okay, but then eventually you have to come back. Well, at least I mean it's not an obligation for everybody. I'm not trying. I mean, it's just something that I realized for myself. I would not be comfortable living in another place far from my parents and far from I mean Russian problems.
Yes.
I want to take part. I want to contribute to these problems.
New News Corporation, the parent company of News International, could face an investigation in the US over its payment to a US soldier for pictures of Saddam Hussein in his underpants. And it's not that I was shocked by the news. Well, News Corporation is notorious and it has a very, very bad reputation. I just laughed the idea of Saddam Hussein in his underpants. And actually, have you seen the picture that I sent you?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. I like his underwear, actually.
The choice of underwear is unquestionably great.
I mean, it reminds me of an elephant.
So we are both impressed.
I mean, the underwear is really great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very similar to an elephant. I mean, right? Just look. I mean, I'm sorry.
It is.
But I just remember that animated movie about Dumbo.
Oh yeah, yeah. The first association. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
When I saw that picture, that was the first thing I thought about. So let's move on to our nerd news.
This is basically the topic of our whole podcast. I would like to discuss the mental illnesses, because we're such a keen readers about that kind of stuff. We're very weird, I say, you and I. once we discussed with you that already, that we like these topics about psychopaths and some kind of mental illnesses, about drinking problems, etc., drugs, I want to tell you the story about me and my friend. I have this crazy friend from my very early childhood. We were basically
crazy. You mean like crazy? She's crazy, or just
she's completely mental. I think that if I tell you the story, you will understand. we were basically brought up together, she called me when I came back. It was last winter when I came back from St. Petersburg, and she called me and said, "Landish, I have there is a man under my window. She lives on the fifth floor, he's drunk and he's going to die in the snow if he stays there for another 2 or 3 hours. So please come with me and take this. We have to do something."
She was so compassionate.
Yeah, she said, I don't want to have a soul of this man on my conscience, the death of this man. So I said, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Let's go. And we went out and we spent, I think, almost 25 minutes there trying to persuade.
What exactly were you doing? Just persuading, or actually physically trying to lift him?
No, he could stand on his. He sometimes fell. From time to time, and he went for a piss from time to time. He smelled horrible, and
How old was he?
I think like 50.
Oh, okay.
I think 50, 55 maybe. Yeah, and the only thing that we wanted is the address. where does he live? Mm-hmm. So we could.
So you could ship him.
we could go and, I don't know, give him back to his family somehow. Yeah. I don't know. We actually were ready for anything. The only thing was that he gave us his address, and he was paranoid. He thought that we wanted his money, his telephone, but I don't think that he had.
Maybe you were too persistent. Maybe you were trying to.
I don't know. What's going on in the mind of a drunk man, who knows? So after that, I think that someone saw us, and asked and called the police. So the police came, and when they came, the man finally told us his address, and we gave him to the cops and said, please be careful, don't do anything to him.
You poor volunteers.
Yeah.
I see.
You told me about this Billy Milligan, right? Tell me about him.
Well, I don't know him personally, so.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
I thought you were best friends.
Well, no, by the way, he is still alive, living somewhere.
Yeah, I saw it, that no one knows his whereabouts.
Yeah, so he, I'm sure he's fine with all his 24 personalities.
24.
So, yeah, okay, anyway, Billy Milligan is a guy who was diagnosed with having, actually, he was the first, it was a first official case when a guy who had committed several felonies was diagnosed with multiple personality disorder and sent to the hospital instead of prison. Mm-hmm. So, and when being treated by psychologists and probably psychiatrists, Milligan, these psychiatrists proved that he had multiple personalities, I think 24 personalities, mm-hmm. All having names and background and their own personal stories. And they all somehow lived together in one body of Billy Milligan.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about, do you think, can it be just a cheating? I mean,
cheating?
Yeah, could he have cheated on everyone?
I think that it is a possibility. But
maybe he was just a great story inventor. Maybe he had just great imagination and cheated on everyone. Is it possible?
I'm not sure, but I think that they have a lot of cases.
I don't know, but I guess what I don't really understand. I mean, I can understand when there are two people and one person.
Mm-hmm. 24, yeah.
But 24 and how is that possible that they all have their background? And how is that possible that when he is committing a crime or doing something, he then is acting like that's one of these 23 guys inside him? And then how does the switching process happen? Like, how does he switch mm-hmm. from one personality to another?
Oh, yeah. Have you read his interview?
No, I haven't.
I really liked some things that he said. Listen, imagine yourself standing in front of a sink. Mm-hmm. You're getting a glass of water, and the whole world around you instantaneously changes. And you are now in the park, acting like you are getting a glass of water out of thin air. And you're just lost in time. That's what it's really like.
Wow. But what was the reason? I mean, childhood problems, adolescence?
Yeah, I read about it. I think that most of the psychologists, they divide into two groups. People who think that it comes from the childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And a second one, they say that it's some kind of a thing which comes with the life, so which surrounds you.
You can't get rid of it. And I remember that his first three personalities appeared when he was like even
5 years
younger
old.
Than five.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wow, this is really, I mean, this is really strange. It's fascinating, but it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever felt like you are talking to another you, another yourself?
I talk to myself quite often, but I think that every one of us have some kind of a mental illness. I think that everyone is mad at a certain level.
Well, we have to define madness then. Like, what is madness?
Madness is probably something when you are different from... there is some kind of a normal person, right? Which is always rational. Logical. And madness, I think, it's some kind of when you deviate, when you are not quite normal, when you have some kind of when you differ, I guess. But again, then every one of us is mad.
Well,
yeah?
then we have to differentiate between simple psychological problems that have something to do with depression, with being moody, with being probably a bit different from others,
mm-hmm.
and psychiatrical problems that actually have to do something with your brain, with your understanding of reality.
I think that, have you heard of this bipolar disorder.
I only from the movie Girl Interrupted. She had that bipolar disorder.
Yes,
so.
Yes, I remember. I've just watched a movie. This was a documentary by Stephen Fry. And he suffers from bipolar disorder, and during the whole film, so he interviews certain even movie stars and some just regular people.
So what is this disorder about?
It's basically mood swings.
Oh. Yeah?
But they are not just mood swings. So, for example, you have a manic depression when you want to kill yourself. And don't want to do anything. Don't want to see anyone.
Are there any external reasons for that? I mean, maybe problems at work or problems with a family life, or just without any reason.
I think that they say that it's genetic.
Oh.
Yeah, so it comes from the very early childhood. And right now it's a problem in the United States, because I think that every third child is diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And it is...
Yes, I remember I had a friend from the US. He had that also.
Yeah, because they say so. Basically, you have a very deep depression. Yeah, and then it alternates, so it changes with the so-called hypomania, when you can have hallucinations, when you can think of yourself as a child of God who can do anything, and you are very hyperactive, and you don't understand why people are so slow and they don't understand you.
Well,
how you are,
that should be drugs.
How brilliant you are. Yeah, something like that. And then back into depression. So Stephen Fry is like that, but so he saw a family. There were two children, and they were basically diagnosed with this bipolar disorder, and they were given very strong medications, antipsychotics.
Uh-huh.
And they're very strong. It's basically what do you call it? Lobotomy. Yeah.
Okay.
And he said that he wouldn't want to use that kind of medications, and it's probably very bad for a child, you know, because it can't be that, I don't know, every third child is diagnosed with bipolar disorder. It's probably just a period that he goes through. Yeah. I read a book by John Ronson about psychopaths,
mm-hmm.
and he also discussed this problem of bipolar disorder, and also visited a family where two children are diagnosed with bipolar disorder and are given antipsychotics, very strong medications, just because they are hyperactive. Yeah, I have a lot of friends whose children are hyperactive, and they don't do anything about it. It's just a child. It's
mm-hmm.
just a phase that they're going through, and I think that that. Kind of that psychologists try to find anything when there is nothing in it. I think it might ruin children's lives. But yes, there is that kind of thing as bipolar disorder. The most incredible thing that almost all people that he interviewed said that if, for example, they had a choice of having bipolar disorder or not having it.
Yeah.
They would still decide to have a bipolar disorder because of these moments of brilliance.
Yeah.
When you can do anything.
One of my favorite movies starring Angelina Jolie and Winona Ryder is pretty much about it. It's about a young girl who found herself in this world,
mm-hmm.
and she, I guess, got into depression simply because she didn't see any point in life. And then there was this episode in the movie when the two of the main characters broke into the doctor's room and found their files, and Susanna, the main character played by Winona Ryder,
mm-hmm.
was reading about her diagnosis from this book. So I'm going to quote: borderline personality disorder, an instability of self-image, relationships, and mood, uncertain about goals, impulsive in activities that are self-damaging, such as casual sex, Lisa says. I like that, Susanna continues. Social contrariness and a generally pessimistic attitude are often observed. Then she pauses, and then she continues, "Well, that's me." And then Lisa says, "That's everybody."
Yes.
So, and I mean, I like that episode so much simply because I think the difference between being, as you said, normal and rational, and already being not normal and having some psychological problems is very slight. And sometimes it's very easy to cross this line and get into another world. And as you said, I don't even know whether it's worth it or not. If we remember all these great people in history, such as Van Gogh and Dostoevsky and a lot of other names, they all more or less suffered from different psychological problems. But they were great people, and they created a lot of great masterpieces. So, as you said, some people agree to stay with that diagnosis on purpose because they like being bright and smart.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember a film, A Beautiful Mind?
Yes, of
John
course
Nash.
I do. Yes.
He himself decided there he didn't want to be treated. It's only his wife, with the help of his wife, he actually was able to live with it, with this illness.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't get worse.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in his case it got worse, yeah.
Yes, but in the end he was able still to live with it. So he had these hallucinations, but still he understood what the reality was.
Yeah, and some people want these hallucinations
he wanted it because you remember during the whole film when he had those hallucinations he was at his prime, so it was the most the time when he had the clearest mind.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, I guess for me it's something, fortunately, probably completely mysterious, completely unimaginable, and I mean, I'm very much curious about all these mental illnesses, but I don't want to experience that myself.
I think that I had something, some sort of a madness. I experienced it when I was in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, was it because of the depression? Or?
I had a huge depression. It was horrible. I think that I have some sort of a bipolar disorder, but. I when I was in St. Petersburg, this depression was almost non-stop, 24 hours a day.
So what prompted that? The environment?
It was, yes, first of all, it's an environment. Secondly, because I wasn't content with myself, with my job. I thought that it was pointless, and it was the feeling of hopelessness, that there is no way out.
Welcome to the club. That's what I'm actually experiencing right now.
Yes, I know. I understand.
And actually, I don't think it's because of the city. I guess it's because of this period in my life when I find myself without any goals, without any purpose. Like, you know, I mean, my peers are almost all married with children, and I feel like, well, should I do the same? Should I also start a family? And
stay with me.
and then I mean, I'm not planning. And then I think like I'm not ready for that.
Yes.
And
yes.
I guess I'm like mentally, psychologically, 5-7 years younger than my peers because I'm absolutely not ready for this kind of thing, for this kind of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So
I feel myself like a child. Every time, for example, it was not that often when a guy asks me out, on a date, I don't know how to behave. Because I feel like I am still a child and it's too grown up for me.
Yes.
And like you are playing some kind of a role, and it's very difficult to concentrate on the date, and that's why I'm very aloof. I don't like that kind of things right now. I think I still have to grow up a bit for this.
And I have been thinking whether it's okay, whether it's normal to be a bit behind your peers. Yeah, I mean, or whether it's some kind of a disorder, like, grow up. I mean, why are you still a child? Come on, let's go on a date. I mean, something like that. I mean, is it a problem or is it okay if knowing that all people are different and sometimes it happens earlier, sometimes it happens later. I mean, knowing that all people are different, or whether it's not okay. So I've been thinking about it.
I think that we have this bit adolescent selfishness when we still think about mostly of ourselves. We try to establish ourselves, try to find our goals in life, try to find something to be occupied with, and it's the only thing which occupies our minds that we think about.
I absolutely agree. So anyway, I mean, I have welcomed you to my club because right now I probably I'm probably experiencing pretty much the same that you have experienced.
Yeah, I am a very unstable person. Since I was a child, I used to smash plates on the wall. Yeah, it was horrible. And then when I was in St. Petersburg, I was so mad at myself and at the situation. I took I lived in an apartment, and I took my shoe with a huge heel, and I just threw it through the door. The door was some kind of, I don't know, it was wooden, but it was not that, how do you call it, the strong wood. So I just threw my shoe at this door and made a huge hole there, and I had to explain it to my landlord.
So it was just temporary, don't worry about me anymore.
Yeah, and I worry that I probably will end in some kind of a mental hospital, but I hope that it won't happen.
Well, hopefully not.
Some people say that it's not really a science. Yeah, you can't really think of it as a science because there are too many unknown things. And for example, do you know about DSM? It is a diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders.
I've heard about that, and it has like hundreds, thousands of diseases enumerated.
Yes. So right now, so in 1840, this manual included only one category of mental disorders. So there were like 20 with something. Yeah. So it only categories. And in 1917, there were already 59 categories. In 1959, there were 128. In 1980, was 227. And in the recent version, so the DSM, the fourth version, there are already 347 categories. So there are a lot of some 2,000 with something mental illnesses, and they are going to publish the fifth version of this manual quite soon. So with each year, number of illnesses only increases, and sometimes I really do think that they probably take anything that we do, anything. Probably any verbal or non-verbal signs, any language of the body, and try to interpret it as some kind of an illness. I don't think that is very good. I always, when I read about things like that, I always remember this exorcism, when Emily Rose. Have you seen this film? It was one of the most notable cases of exorcism. So this girl, she was ill. She had, I think, schizophrenia, and as well as multiple personality disorder. Yeah. And everyone thought that she had a demon inside her. And those people, some priests who came there to try to, say the demon to go away, and they starved her to death, and she died on their hands because they tried everything on her, and she basically died on their hands. And it's horrible, because, well, first of all, they didn't know what was really wrong with her, and I think that it's some kind of a, how do you call it? This is where probably a psychologist would be would be great.
So we need to find some psychologists to be interviewed.
Yes, exactly.
That can probably be a great contribution to our podcast, to our project. Since we are that interested in these problems, then probably why not? Anyway, I guess it's time for us to say goodbye. Yeah.
Oh, hang on. I wanted to tell you about another thing, about this psychologist again. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I read this book by John Ronson, a journalist from the United Kingdom. And he, he was interested in psychopaths and what they're made of and how to, how they differ from other people.
Uh-huh.
And he also he met some Scientologists, and the Scientologists, they say that psychology is a fake science. They only harm people and don't do anything good. Whether the psychology works or not. He said that there was a psychologist in Canada. His name was Elliot Barker, and he created new psychotherapy sessions for criminal psychopaths. He used LSD for them, and these criminals, they were let into what he called the total encounter capsule. Mm-hmm. It was a small room that was painted bright red, and he asked them to remove all clothes. There were no distractions, no television, no clothes, no clocks. They only discussed their feelings. So on LSD, of course.
Wow.
And Elliot himself, he was absent. He was watching everything from behind a one-way mirror. The capsule didn't work. It actually made psychopaths worse because they understood what psychologists want from them, what they want to hear from them. So they understood how they could mimic the behavior of a normal person. And actually, almost all of them, when they were out of this mental hospital, almost the same day, they committed another crime, another felony, raped someone or killed someone. And it was horrible. Yeah, it was absolutely horrible. And the thing about psychopaths and people with mental diseases, so they go not to the jail, but to mental hospitals. And when they are treated and they don't show any signs of improvement, they just let them go. Mm-hmm. So they can't stay in the mental hospitals because, you know, it's government money, and they stay there for just some time. And when this mental hospital lets them go, of course, most of them commit another crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
Well, anyway, I recommend watching Girl Interrupted and probably One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
These two movies.
And probably read this book and read John Ronson. I recommend it highly. The Psychopath Test.
I like these two movies and two books. Girl Interrupted is also based on a book very much. So if you are interested in psychology, psychiatry, and mental illnesses just as much as we are, then probably that can be interesting for you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please visit our website, lingvistov.ru, or our pages in Vkontakte or Facebook. It's facebook.com/lingvistov, and the same is for Vkontakte. Vkontakte, vk.com/lingvistov. And there you can find the links to the podcasts and some interesting stuff.
Yeah,
pretty pictures.
Pretty pictures. English club sessions.
Yes. You can mail us if you have any questions. If you want to want us to discuss some kind of topics, you can mail us and we will read out your mails. So just keep in touch with us
and stay tuned.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.